Arthur Conan Doyle's most famous character, the master sleuth Sherlock Holmes, has been adopted by many a mystery writer since the last of Conan Doyle's stories was published almost 80 years ago. Now comes another writer, not with a mystery for Holmes to solve, but a novel about Holmes near the end of his life and how he copes with his own failing memory, with regrets about missed opportunities, and with a world grown vastly more complex in the wake of World War II. The novel is A Slight Trick of the Mind. Author Mitch Collins spoke with us from NPR West last week and said that when he began writing, he did not intend for his story's protagonist to take on the character of the Sage of Baker Street.
Originally, I was thinking more of an E.M. Forster kind of novel about an elderly Englishman who goes abroad. He goes to Japan, and that was the kind of. But I was trying to get the character in my head, and I kept thinking, well, someone like an old Sherlock Holmes, you know, and I kept doing that over and over again. And at just some point, I made him Sherlock Holmes.
That's a fairly daring decision. Sherlock Holmes is somebody a lot of us feel that we know.
This is true, yeah. And I knew also as well that when I decided to tackle the book with Sherlock Holmes as a protagonist, that if I had the canon kind of hanging over me, it might make it hard to actually write the book. So I did this little thing in the book where I make Sherlock Holmes kind of dismissive of Conan Doyle's or Watson's canon, you know, and that kind of freed him up for me to use him in a way that I wanted to.
How has Sherlock Holmes changed since the days that Arthur Conan Doyle wrote about, when we meet him with you?
Well, he's been retired. He's reclusive. I think he's been retired for over 40 years, and his passion, which Doyle alluded to, was beekeeping. And but the problem is that at 93, his memory has begun to falter a bit. And I think for him and for a lot of people, memory being this kind of thread that reminds us who we are, he kind of has this deep fear that he's being kind of slowly losing his identity.
What is the relation between Holmes' capacity to remember and his ability to observe and make sense of things?
In the way that I viewed it was that Holmes had this almost kind of photographic memory. It used to be he could walk into a room and he would be able to take everything in. And now what he does is he focuses in on one thing that kind of captures the essence of a place or a room. He's less of a detective now, so it's more of a him just being able to navigate in his travels, you know.
There's a passage in the book where you talk about how he copes with this. Can you set that up for us and read that for us?
Sure. I believe it's on the train. He's talking to his host in Japan, and he's kind of explaining how his mind works now as opposed to when he was younger and a detective. And he says, "Over time, I've realized my mind no longer operates in such a fluid manner," Holmes continued. "The change has been by degrees, but I sense it fully now. My means for recall, those various groupings of words and numbers, aren't as easily accessible as they were. Traveling through India, for example, I stepped from the train somewhere in the middle of the country, a brief stop, a place I'd never seen before, and I was promptly accosted by a dancing, half-naked beggar, a most joyous fellow. Previously, I would have observed everything around me in perfect detail, the architecture of the station building, the faces of people walking by, the vendors who were selling their goods, but that rarely happens anymore. I don't remember the station building, and I cannot tell you if there were vendors or people nearby. All I recall is a toothless, brown-skinned beggar dancing before me, an arm outstretched for a few pence. What matters to me now is that I possess that delightful vision of him, where the event took place is of no account. Had this occurred 60 years ago, I would have been quite distraught for being unable to summon the location in its minutiae. But now I retain only what is necessary. The minor details aren't essential. What appears in my mind these days are rudimentary impressions, not all the frivolous surroundings, and for that I'm grateful."
Well, we see him visiting Japan 2 years after World War II, and at some points his powers of observation seem undiminished, but it's almost like a parlor trick. I mean, it doesn't seem to be important to why he's there.
Right.
Did you write it that way to remind readers of how Holmes used to be?
Yeah, sure, and also because his host in the book is expecting Sherlock Holmes, and instead here comes this rather feeble old man. But I think you put it quite well when you said it's a bit of a parlor trick. I think he can pull it off rather effortlessly, the Sherlock Holmes persona, enough to dazzle people, but I think he's less confident about that.
How much of your treatment is simply aging Holmes, and how much is revising him?
Well, I think a lot of it's revising him. If I were just going to write a Sherlock Holmes novel and kind of base it on to have an elderly Sherlock Holmes, I could simply just make him 93 and have all the abilities and all the things you associate with Sherlock Holmes. But I could have done it, and I think, you know, age would not have mattered much. But to be honest, I didn't find that very interesting for me. And in seeing people that I know get older, my parents and my grandmother, and kind of see this kind of slight loss and how they adapt to it, it just felt that I, in order to be honest to the character, I would have to address that accurately as best I could.
We learn from him late in this book a motivation for his interest in bees that doesn't seem to comport with the canon of stories written by Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's horrible to admit this. The canon was not that important to me, and in writing this, I was trying to write a literary novel that had Sherlock Holmes as the protagonist. So to kind of build it up like a mystery, or to kind of unveil it in a kind of as a traditional mystery, wasn't something that I was trying to do. To me, I wanted it to have a kind of slowly reveal itself, and whether I did that the way that I wanted to, I'm not sure I totally pulled it off the way that I had it in mind originally, but yeah.
Your writing style is very different from Conan Doyle's, who was fairly straightforward. You do a lot of time shifting, not just flashbacks, but flash forwards. I mean, there are some events or conversations that I thought when I read them were happening currently, and it turned out that they did not take place until after some other events unfolded. As a writer, how did you handle that?
Those choices come in as it's evolving, and at times, and there's one instance in particular that which involves, I won't give it away in the book, but involves Holmes going to this room of his housekeeper's son.
Precisely.
Yeah, and that was definitely one of those moments where when you're looking through the book before it goes to the publisher, and you're going, either this works well, or this is not a good thing to do. I can't necessarily tell you why all those choices were made. It's simply to push the story forward, but also to create some, I guess, reveal something towards the end. Those are strange choices you make when you write a novel. It's a very scattershot process. I don't know how many writers want to own up to that, but and for some reason, it just, that instance in particular, I wondered if it was problematic or not, but apparently others didn't find it to be so, and I think it works well, but it does have that kind of free-floating time thing. It feels like juggling balls a little bit too when you're doing it. It always leaves me with an uneasy feeling, but I do it anyway.
Well, I thought perhaps you did it precisely because this is a book about someone whose memory is fading in and out on them, and I was left as disoriented as I assume Holmes felt sometimes.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's part of why I did it, to also give this sense of him being kind of unmanned in time and going back and forth. And I think memory is that, you know. Memory is this kind of time-traveling device that we have that allows us to move around. But we revise our memories, too, and I find that interesting. And I wished I'd explored that a little bit more in the book, but that is in there. So some sections we'll read it in the past, and he won't remember it the way that maybe I'll describe it. I did that several times in the book. But yeah, there's a little aping of the way I imagined his memory, sure.
Do you intend to write more about Sherlock Holmes?
I don't, no. I won't. This book evolved very organically and very naturally. I think to embark on another one now, it wouldn't feel necessarily right. But I won't say never. But I'm knee deep into the next novel, and there's not a Sherlock Holmes in it so far.
Mitch Cullen's new novel is A Slight Trick of the Mind, published by Doubleday. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.